topic today I want to share on is, does God really have a plan for your life? This is a verse that's used quite often to say this, and we'll just look at it in Jeremiah chapter 29. Let's read the verse first, and then we'll look at it in a little more detail. 29:11 is a verse that's commonly used, and it says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." And the New International Version for that says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future." And at that point in the ad, you usually hear the music swelling up. You know, I don't know, deep voice comes on and says, "God has a plan for your life." You know, and the meant to be and the destiny folks get all excited. Very, very interesting to understand. What is Jeremiah talking about here? This verse is used to say God has a plan for everybody's life, and that, you know, you come and then a lot of time people say, well, things didn't go right, and they say, well, that wasn't obviously God's plan for your life, you know, or you know, and it's always used as a way to explain what's happening. Well, let's just first of all read where this verse shows up here in Jeremiah. Let's not take it out of context. Jeremiah 29. Let's go back to the context of this whole section and see what God is talking about here. In Jeremiah 29, verse 1, it says, "Now these are the words of the letter that Jeremiah the prophet sent from Jerusalem unto the residue of the elders which were carried away captives, and to the priests and the prophets, and to all the people whom Nebuchadnezzar had carried away captive from Jerusalem to Babylon." So already we know this was a letter that was written to the Israelites who were held captive in Babylon by Nebuchadnezzar. Are we those same people?
No.
Okay, we know that. That's so far, that's all we've read so far, right? So, verse 2. "After that Jeconiah, the king and the queen, and the eunuchs, the princes of Judah, and Jerusalem, and the carpenters and the smiths were departed from Jerusalem, by the hand of Elisha the son of Shaphan, and Gemariah the son of Hilkiah, whom Zedekiah king of Judah sent unto Babylon to Nebuchadnezzar king of Babylon, saying," this is what the letter said, "Thus saith the Lord God of hosts, the God of Israel, unto all that are carried away captives, whom I have caused to be carried away from Jerusalem unto Babylon. So, rebuild you houses, and dwell in them, and plant gardens, and eat the fruit of them. Take ye wives, and beget sons and daughters, and take wives for your sons, and give your daughters to husbands, that they may bear sons and daughters, that ye may be increased there and not diminished." So God is giving these people who are believers in Babylon, captive under Nebuchadnezzar, "This is what I want you to do. I want you to get married, have children, get the family, and all this stuff. Just be blessed." Verse 7. "And seek the peace of the city whither I have caused you to be carried away captives, and pray unto the Lord for it, for in the peace thereof shall you have peace." So he wants them to pray for the city and bless it. "For thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, let not your prophets and your diviners that be in the midst of you deceive you, neither hearken to your dreams which you cause to be dreamed, for they prophesy falsely unto you in my name. I have not sent them, saith the Lord. For thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you in causing you to return to this place, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, Israel, captive in Babylon, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." Does that verse have anything to do with the Christian church?
No.
Absolutely not. It has everything to do with Israel held captive under Nebuchadnezzar in Babylon. And he told them, "For you, I have something planned." There was something very specific planned. 70 years of captivity and then the return back to the promised land. So can you take this verse now and say God has a plan for your life? Absolutely not. This is talking only and only to Israel held captive in Babylon under Nebuchadnezzar. Isn't that clear from the section? So let's go now to Genesis 3. So that section is not addressed to the Christian church. Genesis chapter 3. And again, we're looking at this because a lot of times this that verse is used to teach in the terms of destiny, like where God has a plan that you're going to end up here at this time in life, and then you're going to end up here in this time in life, and there's this plan laid out for you, and come up to the Bible and find this plan that God has specifically for you. And that is not the teaching of the Bible. Right? Genesis chapter 3, verse 15 is God's plan. "And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." When Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden, and man was separated from God, God had a plan for the world. Because even John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." God's plan for the world was and is Jesus Christ. That's his plan for the world. Anybody can believe on him and have eternal life. Isn't that true? Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So if you choose to believe on him, have you just all of a sudden fulfilled God's plan for your life? God's plan for the world. Not specifically for you, but God's plan for the world. He had the Lord die for everyone, that anybody could believe on him. That's God's plan. Now look at Deuteronomy chapter 30. The Messiah. Oh, he's excited. Getting excited about the Lord. Deuteronomy chapter 30. And there are a lot of sections like this section in Deuteronomy. And we'll see what I mean when we read it. Deuteronomy 30, this is, "And it shall come to pass, when all these things," this is now God blessing, talking to Israel when they were going to get into the promised land and so forth. And he gave them some certain directions. And let's read it, verse 1. "And it shall come to pass, when all these things are come upon thee," he says, "the blessing and the curse which I have set before thee, and thou shalt call them to mind among all the nations whither the Lord thy God hath driven thee, and shall return unto the Lord thy God, and shall obey his voice according to all that I command this day, thou and thy children, with all thine soul, with all thy heart, and with all thine soul." So you're going to see through this section God talking very specifically about obeying his voice. And this is a section, this is common throughout God's word. Verse 3, that "then the Lord thy God will turn thy captivity and have compassion upon thee, and will return and gather thee from all the nations where the Lord thy God scattered thee. If any of thine be driven out unto the utmost parts of heaven, from thence will the Lord thy God gather thee, and from thence will he fetch thee. The Lord thy God will bring thee into the land which thy fathers possessed, and thou shalt possess it, and he will do thee good and multiply thee above thy fathers. The Lord thy God will circumcise thy heart and the heart of thy seed to love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul, that thou mayest live. The Lord thy God will put all these curses upon thine enemies and on them that hate thee, which persecuted thee. And thou shalt return and obey the voice of the Lord and do all his commandments which I command thee this day." So if they didn't obey his voice and the commandments that he told them, would the blessings follow them?
No.
Well, what about God's plan for my life? Well, what's God's plan for your life? It's to obey his word. When God gives his word, you obey his word. If you don't obey his word, there's not this fuzzy plan later that's going to get executed anyway. You obey his word. It's very simple. Let's keep reading. Verse 9. "And the Lord thy God will make thee plenteous in every work of thine hand, in the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy cattle, and the fruit of thy land for good. The Lord God will again rejoice over thee for good, as he rejoiced over thy fathers. If thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to keep his commandments and his statutes, which are written in the book of the law, and if thou turn unto the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul. But this commandment, which I command thee, this day, it is not hidden from thee, neither is it far off." Remember this verse here. We're going to read this in the New Testament. "It is not in heaven that thou shouldest say, who shall go up for heaven and bring it unto us, that we may hear it?" It goes, this, you know, it's kind of, I'm telling you the word. He said, it's not hidden. It's not up there. You got to go up and get it and bring it down. I'm telling you the word right now, he was saying. verse 13. Neither is it beyond the sea, that thou shouldest say, who shall go over the sea for us and bring it unto us, that we may hear it and do it? But the word is very nigh unto thee, in thy mouth and in thy heart, that thou mayest do it. Very, very simple. No, I mean, Romans puts it another way. No man, all man is without excuse. The word is right there. He didn't say it's not hidden, it's not up in heaven, it's not in the ocean, not earth. It's right here. Here's the word. It's not complicated. You do what the word of God says, and here are the blessings that flow. You don't do what the word of God says, then. Doesn't happen quite as what you think. Verse 13. See, I have set before thee this day life and good, and death and evil. In that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commandments, and his statutes, and his judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply, and the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land whither thou goest to possess it. But if thine heart turn away, though thou wilt not hear, but shall be drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I denounce unto you this day that you shall surely perish, and that you shall not prolong your days upon the land whither thou passest over Jordan to go to possess it. But God has a plan for your life. Well, the plan obviously involves you and me. This is, again, this is in Israel, but we'll see the New Testament in a minute. It has to do with you and me doing what God's word says. If I don't do what God's word says, then I say, well, God, why is this happening to me? What about your plan for my life? Jesus Christ was God's plan for the world. Now, if we obey what God's word says, then we see the blessings God promises. Verse 19, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you, here he goes again, life and death, blessing and cursing. Before he called it in the previous verse, life and good and death and evil. Here he says, blessing and cursing, or life and death, therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. What is the word? Choose. Choose it. Not it's just going to happen because there's fuzzy plan for you. You choose life. You choose blessing. You obey God's word. Verse 19-20. That thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey his voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto him, for he is thy life and the length of thy days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and so forth, Jacob. Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. Again, that section in Deuteronomy is similar to many, many sections in God's word, where God lays out his word and says, follow my word. No different to today. Do we have a word written to us today? Absolutely. Joshua chapter 1. This is now when they got close to entering the promised land. Verse 1. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister. He said, Moses, my servant, is dead. Verse 2. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that I have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the left wilderness and all this section down to verse 5, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so will I be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. So what if Joshua did not meditate in the word of God? What if he did not do according to what God's word had said? Are there any examples of people in the word of God that didn't do what they were asked to do? Oh yeah. Right. Did they get the blessings God promised them? No. God's plan for you and me, just like it is, has been from day one, is that we obey His voice and do what the Word, His Word says. And the Word, the general plan for the world was Jesus Christ, and to believe on Jesus Christ and accept Him. And we'll look at that in a second. Joshua 24. While we're in Joshua, we should read this verse too. Many years later, near the end of Joshua's life, you guys know this verse, I'm sure. Joshua 24, when he's got the elders together and he's telling them a few things. He says in verse 13, I have given you a land for which you did not labor, and cities which you built not, and you dwell in them, the vineyards and olive yards which you planted, now not do you eat. Now therefore, fear the Lord, and serve Him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood, and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. It was a conscious decision. He says, you choose. Just like Moses previously said, you know, you guys pick between death and life. You choose. You make up your mind. And God says, you follow my word. You obey my voice. You do what my word says. Then these are the blessings that flow. Now look at Romans chapter 10. This section is quoted from Deuteronomy. The New Testament. Romans chapter 10. Verse 1. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. For Moses describeth, here it is, the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, say not in thine heart, who shall descend into the heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring up Christ again from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee. This is exactly from Deuteronomy that we just read. It's what Moses had said to the children of Israel. Now God is having Paul by revelation say to the church. What does it say in the Old Testament? Obey my voice. Moses told him, the word of God is right here, guys. You don't have to go up there and find it, or down there. It's right here. You obey God's word. And here in Romans chapter 10, the exact same truth. Yep. Verse 8, but what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That is God's plan for humanity. Started back in Genesis chapter 3, when he said he was going to send the Messiah, and now he sent him, and he says, look, the word is right here. It's not complicated. Make him your Lord. And if you do that and believe that I raised him, thou shalt be saved. What if you don't believe that? God has some mystic plan for your life? No. God's blessings to you and to me and all mankind in this day and time flow from making Jesus their Lord and believing God raised him from the dead. That is God's plan for the world. That is God's plan. Now beyond that, after that, now is there some steps laid out for you that no matter what happens, these are the steps you're going to follow? No. It's no different than back in the Old Testament. Why the heck did those guys end up in Babylon in the first place? Because they wouldn't listen to God. It was the best he could do to save their butts from getting destroyed. He goes, okay, I'm going to send you under an unbelieving kingdom because you guys keep killing yourselves. Sent them to Babylon for 70 years. Brought them back. Today, same thing today. You get born again of God's Spirit. Now, is there some plan that God's leading you down? Only if you obey his voice. And that can change daily, depending on you and me. Verse 10, for with the heart man believeth unto unrighteousness, and with the mouth confession man salvation. Verse 11, for the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. But there is no difference between Jew and the Greek. No difference, Jew or Gentile. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. See, it's a plan for everybody. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That is God's plan for the world. In John chapter 3. John chapter 3. John 3:36. It says, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. So, in order to enter into God's plan for the world, you have to believe on the Son. It's not some, you know, destiny of everybody, meant to be. You know, people say, well, I wasn't meant to be. Oh, I just broke my leg today. Well, that's God's plan for your life. You know, it was, you know, health wasn't meant to be for you. That's nonsense. Nonsense. God's plan for the world was Jesus Christ. And us to obey the voice of God to what the Lord accomplished for us. That's his plan for us, to believe his word. It's not complicated. The word is right there, right? In Acts 26. A few more verses. You know, a lot of times people say, well, if things don't work out, they'll say it, you know, that wasn't God's plan. Well, not what the word says. Acts 26. This is Paul near when he was about to be captured. He came before King Agrippa to give a little testimony of what had happened to him in his life. You know, Paul the apostle did accomplish a few things, I think. You know, considering we read these seven church epistles and Timothy, Titus, Philemon, Hebrews, all those things. So Paul, by revelation, and writes in Acts 26:13, he's telling the king what had happened to him. He says, at midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun shining round about me, and them which journeyed with me. And by the way, before this time, he's talking about he was killing believers, right? He was giving his voice against Christians, having them killed, murder, essentially, and giving his voice against them, slandering them, running into homes, pulling them out, and having them beaten and sent to prison. You know, that's what he was doing. And he says that, I heard, verse 14, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, what the heck are you doing? This is my paraphrase. Why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet. For I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee. So he's telling him, I have something for you to do. Delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes, and to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins, and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. So there were some things that the Lord wanted Paul to do. So he appears unto him, saying, look, Paul, I've called you. I want you to do this. This is what I want you to do. Look at the next verse. It says, whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision. Could he have been?
Yes.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It was up to Paul to now obey what the Lord was telling him to do. And this is way later in his life, and he says it to the king. We'll read it here. Not you're not going to read it. If you read the rest of that section, you'll see, you know, I did what I was told to do. I witnessed the small. I witnessed the great. I witnessed the king. I did everything I could. And later in Timothy, he says, I've kept the course. I've done what I was supposed to do. But it was all by his choice. Just the same way which God, by Moses, told Israel, you pick what you're going to do. You pick which way you want to go. Just like Joshua. I said, Joshua, you're going to prosper, but only if you do this. And later in his life, he says, look, you guys pick. I'm going to stick with what I picked before, which is the Lord. You guys decide what you want to do. In New Testament, God says, look, my plan is Jesus Christ for this world. You decide to believe on him, and these blessings flow. These blessings. And then from that point, yeah, he may have things for you to do. But it's always up to your choice whether you are going to do them or not. There's not this some mystic plan. It all has to do with obedience to the voice of God. You see cases where Paul and company were trying to go somewhere and says Satan hindered us. We couldn't get there. Was that God's plan for their life, that Satan hindered them? No, it happens. See, God's plan is Jesus Christ. Beyond that, it's up to you and to me to choose to obey or not to obey, just like it was in the Old Testament. Now, there is, you know, I was making about destiny. Destiny does exist. I'm going to show you destiny now, after all these things I've just said. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, there are a few things that are going to happen that neither you nor I have any choice or control over, thankfully, because otherwise if we do, we would probably screw it up. Right. 1 Thessalonians 4. Here it is, verse 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep or that are dead, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, that's Romans chapter 10, and we just read it, if the word is nigh thee, very simple to believe. He says, if you believe that, and you know if we have, he says, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not precede them which are asleep. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven. Do you or I have any say in this?
No.
Absolutely not. So if there is a Christian destiny, this is it right here. The return of Jesus Christ for his saints. With the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. So there is that great event and all the things that follow after. And by the way, there is also a end state for people who don't believe. That's in Philippians chapter 2. We'll read that too. While we're here, let's close with this. Philippians chapter 2. It says in verse 8, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto the death, even to the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name that is above every name, that the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. That was God's plan for the world. We can choose, as we have, to bow now, to believe him. But whether people do or not, someday every knee will bow. And that for sure is going to happen. And the return of Christ is for sure going to happen. But, you know, as we make our way towards the eventual return of Jesus Christ, what could be tonight, could be next year, could be, I don't know when it's going to be. Because no one knows the hour. As we make our way there, God's plan for all life is Jesus Christ, and to accept that which has been done through Christ for us. Otherwise, you know, if you get into this thinking of God has a plan for your life, then if you make mistakes, you'll feel guilty because I didn't, you know, or you get into this thinking about, you know, why did this happen to me? Maybe I guess this wasn't meant to be for me. I guess what, all this nonsense. Whereas the Word of God says, obey my voice, walk with me, do what I say, and these are the blessings that flow. And then if you don't do what he says, don't be surprised if the blessings don't flow. Because God is very specific, very clear in what he says to his people. So, you know, let's not get caught up in the whole destiny meant to be plan for our lives thing, where the plan for your and my life is Jesus Christ and all that God has accomplished through him. And it's simply up to us to believe that word. It's just right here. It's right there. It's in your mouth. It's available. It's not hidden. It's right there for us to believe. So, what's that?